Welcome to the Cutter's Notch Podcast, a program created by Michael DeCamp, the author of Abandon Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch Studios, this podcast is focused on all things creative, with special forays into books and matters of faith. Join Michael as he catches up with an author, a songwriter, a painter, a comedian, or anyone working or supporting a creative endeavor. So turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition, or I guess it's this half month's edition of the Cutter's Notch podcast. I believe this is episode number 19. And returning to us via Bluetooth on the phone is our co-host, Angela DeCamp.
Angela DeCamp, it's me. I'm back.
Welcome back, Angela.
Thanks. It's so great to be here in my living room calling you on my phone.
We have missed you.
Oh, I've missed you. I really miss being at the Cutter's Notch Studios. There's just something really magical about being there. So.
Yeah, and you haven't seen the Cutter's Notch guard dog?
Or pilfered the Cutter's Notch pantry and taken home some of the Cutter's Notch sparkling water that I didn't want to buy myself.
Well, and you haven't really seen the official Cutter's Notch podcast backup co-host for a while either. So
I know. And she gave me life. So
yeah, she's done a remarkable job. She's done a really, really good job. So there you go.
You know, I listened to the Creativity with Cooking episode that you guys did. And I realized that I do a lot of the same things that mom does. as far as just Googling stuff online or like replacements or just winging it and seeing what happens. So she definitely created a little double version of her in that realm.
Yeah, you're like a younger image of your mother. So, well, let's start off this discussion. I think the overall topic of our discussion this week is going to be COVID creativity. Since we've been stuck in this stay-at-home mode, kind of a pseudo-quarantine, trying to protect everyone from the COVID-19 virus, there's been a flurry of creative things that has been highlighted on the news and on the social media. And so I think that's going to be the focus of our discussion today. But let's start off with our usual book updates. I have officially finished the story of Dune.
You have?
Yes, finally.
What did you think?
I really liked it. I may have to read the rest of them. I guess that's the beginning of a saga that Frank Herbert has written. So,
though I've heard that, like, don't read the rest.
Oh, really? The rest
I don't remember who said it, or I don't know if it was Taylor or somebody else, but I've heard that the rest of the series isn't quite as satisfying as Dune itself.
Well, that happens. That happens. But
I'm really glad, though.
I'm actually reading the appendixes. This humongous book actually has two appendixes at the end. One is the ecology of the Dune planet, and the other one is the religion of the Dune planet. And I'm reading those as well. So I may or may not try the second in the series and see if it's any good or not. But I really did enjoy the story. And now I'm going to have to go back and watch the movie, see how close it is.
They're making a new movie.
Are they?
Yeah. You've picked up the book at the right time, because I think I'd seen they're planning on making a remake of the film, or a new version of the film.
Ah, well, cool.
So yeah, definitely watch the original one, but I'm excited now because you can watch the movie, the new one they're making, and be an expert on all of it.
And you can tell Taylor that we can freely discuss the story whenever he wants to. What about you? Where do you stand on books?
Well, I know that the last few times I've been on here, I had been reading Sense and Sensibility, and I finished that one. And now I'm currently reading Ninth House by Lee Bardugo. I don't know if I said her name correctly, but, and it's pretty good. I kind of Googled it online around Christmas time, trying to find books that I'd be interested in getting. And it's sort of like, It's fictional, but it's also, that I actually kind of feel like you might like some of this, but it's about this girl who kind of dropped out of high school and was involved with drugs and stuff. And she ends up getting an offer to go attend Yale because they have all of these like mysterious secret societies, but they're actually like kind of like magical and kind of deal with the occult. And she's kind of hired to be in this house to like make sure they don't get out of hand. And of course, you know, mystery and homicide and stuff like that happen. And so it's, well, it does, it's pretty interesting.
Does sound the kind of up my alley, huh?
Yeah. You know, kind of creepy. What is it? How do you describe Cutter's Notch novel?
I call it a real world thriller with fantasy and supernatural elements.
That is exactly what I would, how I would describe this book.
Well, I may have to check it out. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, how has this stay at home order that we've been living under, Angela, how has this changed you and changed your lifestyle over the last few weeks?
Yeah, it's, not at all. You know, everything's the same. No, I spent a lot of time getting to know my cat and her rhythm, you know, how she handles the day with me around. No, actually, so I've been working from home. My day job is at the Indiana University School of Medicine. So the cool thing is like, I'm in the dean's office there and I'm able to connect with a lot of the like, leaders of the school, and they like connect with the medical leaders around the state. So I've been lucky that I've been really kept abreast of everything going on. I feel like I have kind of maybe not the ultimate inside scoop, but an inside ear to sort of like the trends and the things that are happening, which has been great. But it's also kind of, you know, scary.
Yeah.
I've been working from home, and my boss and I have been connecting. I had a moment where I kind of, you know, stressed out and got to really work, but like, because they're able to, our medical professionals and our people that are kind of in the hospitals are able to keep their cool, it sort of gave me a sense of peace. Like, okay, like they're facing things even more scary than I am, and they're able to handle it all pretty, not always well, but you know, as best as we can. So after the initial panic that everybody kind of went through, going to the grocery store and stocking up on stuff, things toilet have really paper. Kind of, yeah, toilet paper, which I finally found this week. Yeah, I know, it was really important. I was really worried. I've been able to kind of come up with my own new rhythm. I think the biggest thing for me living at home and basically always staying at home has been creating a routine and sort of sticking to it. And so, yeah, I've been kind of living by a little bit of a same thing every day. It doesn't sound very exciting, but I'm lucky in that I live right nearby Garfield Park in Indianapolis. So it's basically right outside my door. I can walk out into the park and take a nice walk and still maintain a safe distance from everybody. And I've pretty much limited all of my interaction to just my one-on-one interactions, basically just been with Taylor. Yeah, just trying to be healthy. I hand stitched my own face mask and I'm pretty impressed with myself. So, wow. You know,
I didn't know you I'm had ready sewing to skills.
I did. Well, they're rudimentary. They get the job done, but I don't know that they're great. So, well, but what about you?
Your backup co-host, she stitched some face masks for herself and for me. Mine's got mm-hmm. this, it's a bright green. I wore it to, Menards last week. We popped in there and we needed a couple of things. And then I got to thinking about what in the world is on this fabric. And I looked closely and it was tools. So she said, yeah, it's manly.
So, oh yeah, it's just tough. And you wore it to Menards, so it's like perfectly on brand. You should have one for every occasion.
Yeah, there you go.
So it really would be good to have multiple. Like I thought about making another one because really you're supposed to wear it. And when, you know, you wear it the entire time you're out, you come back to take it off and wash it in the washing machine before you wear it again. Like, oh, I really need to probably get a couple more.
Well, actually, yeah, for personal stuff, I need to probably have a couple of them. whenever I'm allowed to go out into the world again for my day job, they're apparently going to supply me with some N95 masks to use for work. So,
yeah, there's been talks at IU about potentially, and I don't know for sure on the spectrum of how certain they are, but there have been talks about everybody needing to wear masks even up to maybe another year or so.
Yeah. So. I'll be glad. I really hope we get through this and we can kind of go back to the normal lifestyle. My changes have been, lifestyle's been simpler. I'm not really going anywhere in the evenings. I'm not having to travel anywhere for work. So
you're getting a ton of writing done, right?
Well, I am getting quite a bit of writing done during this time period. I have written a short story and I have been busy editing on the sequel. My deadline is May, and guess what? Right now, as we are recording this, it's May the 2nd. So I have got to get this thing, through this edit so that I can send it off to my publisher, but it's getting really, really close. So I've been doing a lot of that. My hair has been growing like crazy. I have bangs for the first time since like 1982 or something. I back when I was in Bible college in 1980 to 82, I wasn't allowed to have hair over my ears. Well, and if you had hair over your ears, you couldn't go to the school or you couldn't serve communion at church. So I am no longer qualified.
Well, God really cares about your hair. So I understand that for sure.
Yeah, really. But the point is that I'm no longer qualified to pass communion in 1980 in my church in where the Bible college was. So my hair is over my ears. I'm not really combing it much. I'm just kind of combing it straight out and letting it go. We were out working in the yard last week and the wind was blowing and your mom said that my hair was just blowing all over the place, but which is
how, you know what the struggle is for us then.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, they may in Indiana, they may open up the hair places again here in a couple of weeks. And I'm actually contemplating that I still may not get my hair cut until I'm actually free to go visit customers. So, I mean, we just may see how long it gets.
Yeah, I think it's good to be like, I listened to our governor give his address just yesterday about his 5-stage sort of plan to reopen stuff. It seemed like it was pretty well thought out, but I still think it's important to like not just rush out and do as much as you can, you know, pace yourself, be smart. And if you can wear a mask, and here's my plug for wearing masks, ladies, just think about not having to wax or bleach your mustache anymore. You can cover it with a mask. You don't even have to worry about it. That's what I'm most excited about.
Well, I saw a creative little meme on, I'm on Facebook. That's probably my thing. But saw this creative little meme about explaining why you should wear a mask. And it had to do with, it was kind of funny. It said, if you were, imagine you were outside and you were naked and someone else was naked and they peed on you. Then you're going to get it all over you. But if you wore pants, then they would just get it on your pants. And if they wore pants, then they would just get it on themselves. So that's why you should wear a mask.
It's kind of a yucky. I don't think I think it was, yuck. But it seems like a pretty decent analogy.
Kind of make the point. So what other kinds of creativity what kind of creative things have you been doing during this time? And then we'll move into creative things we're seeing out there.
I've been doing, I've actually been able to ramp up a lot of my painting, which is, it's still not, I'm not painting and drawing as much as like, I feel like the voice in my head says I should to, you know, improve and to be the best I can be. But I've definitely ramped up how much I'm doing. I had been working on a commission painting for one of my friends she has to move to California, at the end of this month. So, I was doing a little commission oil piece for her, and I really picked up on doing a lot of the paintings in gouache. I did one last night that I really enjoyed painting. And so I'm trying to build up sort of a body of work with those. I'd like to basically, and I guess if you're unfamiliar with my artwork, this may not mean a whole lot to you, but I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and really push forward in another direction with my artwork. So I'm trying to create a lot of the similar style, a lot of new style, but they all should be similar, tied together. I don't think I'm speaking very eloquently that, but yeah, so I'm trying to build up more of a body of work of some of the new stuff I'm doing. And it's been easy to not have to drive to and from work. I can just be here and, you know, 5 o'clock hits, I log out of my computer, I walk over and I can pull open my paints and get started. So it's nice to not lose that time. But I'm doing a lot of that ideating and creating.
Well, cool. I guess, besides my short story, you know, I've had a couple other creative things I've been kind of fiddling around with. One actually involves a social media outlet that I really wasn't aware of. You were, I used to make fun of you. But you introduced us to Marco Polo, which, is kind of cool. For those of you out there who are listening and you don't know what Marco Polo is, it's like a video version of texting. So you can, to those who have Marco Polo that are on your contact list, you can leave them a video message and then they can see it whenever they get to it and then respond. Well, I've been using Marco Polo. Angela and I and Nancy and my other daughter, Andrea, whom you have met if you listen to this podcast all the way through.
I'm so sorry you had to meet her.
we've been doing every morning. We have this Marco Polo exchange, which I find to be actually rather creative. It starts usually with Nancy. She does a word of the day. She shares a new word, gives us a definition, and tries her best to pronounce it correctly. And then Angela follows that up usually with a trivia question for the day. And Andrea does a quote of the day. And then I do.
She didn't do one yesterday. Did you notice that?
You're right. She didn't? Are you sure? I was thinking she did.
Oh, she did. Sorry. It's probably just forgettable. Go on.
Well, you're picking on her. She's not here to defend herself. But
I'm going to wait and see if she listens to the podcast. And if she doesn't, then I'll shame her for that. And if she doesn't, she's already.
Sister love. You gotta appreciate it. And then I finish it off with a verse of the day. So we do a scripture verse, and I share a couple of thoughts with that. So that's our daily thing. But I've also been using Marco Polo for our small group at church. So, you know, we'd go to somebody's house and we'd all gather around and we'd chit chat for who knows how long. And then we would have a little bit of a message and then we'd chit chat about that. But now we're doing a Marco Polo thing on Friday nights and we all just kind of get on our phones at 7:30. I provide maybe a 10 minute little message. And then, each person gets an opportunity to respond and we go back and forth for a few minutes. It only takes about half hour total. And then we close it out. And that's been kind of a creative way to stay connected. We can see each other. We can hear each other. We can communicate with one another. And that's been kind of cool.
Yeah. It's been very like my friends and I have used Marco Polo for a number of years just because I don't know who discovered it. I just kind of got roped into it, but, there's several of us that like live in different states and across the country. And so it has been a way for us to all stay connected and feel like we're all really connected, even though we've been sort of far apart. So it's a pretty good tool. I'm glad that we have it at our fingertips. And I was listening to another podcast, basically talking about how, you know, yeah, this whole COVID-19 pandemic and basically what it's doing to our lives is really, really tough. But think about how lucky we are to be living in the time that we are versus like in the 1918 Spanish flu. Like we have Netflix and we have the internet at our fingertips. Like we still, even though we're not able to connect like how we want to, it is still nice to think about all the things that we are able to do now, despite the hardships we're facing.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the creative things we're seeing on social media. So some of the creative things the other people are doing while they're in their stay-at-home orders. I'll start. I'll give one, and then maybe we'll go back and forth, alternate a little bit. One of the first ones that I thought of when I started thinking about this was the crazy walk zones. It's I've seen it on the news, and I've seen it, I think, on social media. It's called crazy walk zones. Yeah, people are putting signs on the sidewalk out in front of their houses and neighborhoods, and they declare it a crazy walk zone. So if you're going to walk past their house, you're supposed to do it in some sort of a crazy walk. And people are bringing their kids and their dogs and stuff, and they're coming by, and they're acting all goofy as they pass by the house, and it's kind of entertaining to watch. So
I want to say it's like a reference to a TV show or a movie. Like, I think that happened in something, and I can't remember what it was. And so people have started doing it in real life, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
I've seen too in my neighborhood, they've been doing like scavenger hunts where you could put like a picture in a window. Like, I think around St. Patrick's Day, they wanted everybody to put different shamrocks in the windows so that the kids could walk by and try to find all of them. Oh, that was cute.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it though.
No shamrock at your house, huh?
I'm a very angry lady in the house on the corner.
You're that mean young woman.
So, I know.
Another thing I saw was, our Nancy and I's niece and her husband, she's got a slew of kids. And so she's got them all at home. And one of the little boy, Drew, he had a birthday party this last week. And of course, he couldn't have any of the friends over, but they still had a bounce house. He's got enough kids, they could keep the bounce house going. So, he and Lauren and Matt have a bunch of kids, and Drew is one of them. But there's four kids total, and the bounce house, it was kept busy, I'm sure. But, the interesting thing I saw them do is they had like a home hibachi dinner. So they had all the kids around the bar, the kitchen bar area, and Matt had this little griddle set up, and he was trying to do the onion volcano, and he was flipping food to the kids to try to get them catch it with their mouth, just like they would do at the hibachi restaurants. I thought that was a pretty unique and funny thing. And the other thing that Lauren did is she sent a message out to all the family and asked everybody to send her a video of them saying happy birthday to Drew and telling him a joke. Apparently he loves jokes. And so Nancy and I went out on the deck and recorded our own and sent it over to him. So that was pretty fun.
If you love jokes, you really didn't need to say anything. You could have just taken a picture of yourself and sent it.
Oh, now.
I'm sorry. You put it out there, okay? I couldn't just take it.
It was like a hanging fastball that's not happening right now. You just knocked it over the fence, right?
I know. I'm sorry.
So what other creative things have you seen?
Well, so one of the things, at the time that we're recording this is May 2nd, which means that yesterday was, you guessed it, May 1st. But that means it was the first Friday in May. And usually when we're able to be out in the public and, you know, active and around each other, Indianapolis and a lot of other cities do this. I don't know if it's all on the same day, but we do a first Friday art tour. And all of the art galleries are open, and usually the artists are in their studios, and you can interact with them and buy art or just walk around. A lot of places have free glasses of wine and such, and you can peruse the art and be social, and it's wonderful. And it's one of my favorite activities in the city. However, due to the travel restrictions and all of that, they've had to get kind of creative. So, like, I know Garfield Park Art Center, which is kind of what's closest to me, they did a virtual they're doing a virtual show, so it is, everything's all hung up in their art gallery, and I'm sorry I haven't completely checked it out yet, but they made it live for you to be able to look at all of the art on the internet, so you can pour yourself your own glass of wine, or if you don't drink, your own Coca-Cola or something,
glass of water, milk,
yeah, glass of water, I don't know, and look at all of the art on their website. And you have access to do that throughout the entire month of May. So I don't know exactly when you're posting this episode, but hopefully you'll be able to get a chance to do that. I know a lot of other places, I'm pretty sure the Harrison Center in Indianapolis is doing that as well. Like, I know a lot of other places are doing it. And I've actually seen online that there are a lot of like national and international museums that are, that allow you to tour the museums and tour the art galleries and stuff from your computer. So it's, you still get the cultural experience. I mean, of course, it's not quite the same as being there in person, because I think seeing art in person just is a completely different experience, but it still gives you a piece of it, and it sort of allows you to be able to participate in the community, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that your mom's been enjoying every Friday night is one of her high school friends is a local musician and singer. And he and his wife often, when we're under normal circumstances, they have performances at different venues pretty much every weekend. And of course, they haven't been able to do that. That's one of their primary sources of income. So they've actually been doing these little live concerts on Facebook Live on Friday nights. And so Nancy's been tuning in, and I've been enjoying it some as well. And people are able to basically send them a tip for the performance, which is a way for them to keep some income coming in and still providing some entertainment to their fans. So I think that was a pretty cool, creative way to keep the art flowing from those musicians.
Yeah, we have this guy, Seamus Keller. I don't know exactly. I have to double check, but he is a musician who tours around the world, but I believe he's Irish, and he plays at like Nine Irish Brothers, the different restaurants that we have in Indy. And me and my girlfriends, we like, for whatever reason, are just obsessed with this guy. This is a really random. He's just an old Irish singer guy. And we went 1 year and he was there. And I swear he only comes to Indianapolis like once a year. And the next year we came to Nine Irish Brothers and he was there again. And we were just so into it. And somehow I connected with this guy and we became friends on Facebook. I don't know why it was me and not anybody else, but me and Seamus are friends on Facebook. And he's been doing a lot of that where he's been playing live on Facebook Live, and he's kind of allowed people to be able to tip him virtually as well, which I think is really cool. But I'm really looking forward. I mean, I really am looking forward to when we're able to be together out in public again.
That'll be fun. That reminded me, I was going through some of my old, when you get a lot of time on your hands, you can do things like clean your computer out and look at old files. And I actually ran across a short story I started to write, and the name of the lead character is Raleigh Seamus.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I ran across that. I don't think I ever finished it, but I was like, oh, I forgot all about that one. So
fun.
Well, you know, another one that I saw is I have a niece in California named Bonnie. Bonnie and her husband Kevin. Bonnie's been doing some, she's doing some funny stuff every day. But the one that I actually watched all the way through was this makeup thing where she did that whole thing where it's Kevin's hands from behind her, and she talks him through, or basically she's pretending like she's teaching someone on the internet how to put on makeup in a stay at home.
So he's the one who's putting it on. Is that what you're saying?
He's the one that's actually putting it on. And, basically smearing it all over her face, which was pretty funny. It was pretty funny.
Actually, that prompts me to, have you downloaded TikTok yet?
I have not. I've kind of been,
that's like the thing to do for quarantine.
I've been refusing to download TikTok. I'm not sure I really want that one. But
that's all right. Andrea has a TikTok. Sorry, Andrea, I'm ratting you out.
I'm not surprised. She actually,
some of my friends have gotten into it. So
she was talking about it. I heard her talking about it yesterday, but, I'm not so much into the short videos, but although the ones that show up on Facebook, sometimes I get a kick out of, but I'm not so into it that I want to go download the whole app.
Yeah. It's kind of a rabbit hole. I can tell you. It's hard to stop looking at them all.
Well, do you have any other creative things you've seen out there you want to share with us?
I think that the one thing I really want to touch on is just how impressed I am with how we've all had to be creative in different areas of our lives. You know, I mean, getting groceries, we've had to get creative with it. I mean, I'm afraid of like leaving this all too broad because I know that like, okay, yeah, everything really is creative, but I am just really been impressed with how we've all been able to adapt to our changing situation. And I think it helps when you practice creativity under normal circumstances to make you more flexible to adjust when you have to be creative, like when you're forced to be. And so I've been really, yeah, it hasn't been that much of a hardship, honestly. Like, I've been one of the lucky ones. So, you know, I'm lucky that I still have my job as of right now. And I'm lucky, you know, that I have the support system that I have. But even all of the people out, everyone I've seen just adapting to the situation, it's been really cool. So that's all I really have to say and add on to that.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, you know, it's I have found that I've actually adapted to this stay-at-home thing probably much more easily than I anticipated. But I'm used to a home office. So for my day job, I have a home office. I'm just usually only there a couple of days a week, maybe one day a week. And then I'm out on the road a lot. Well, I haven't been able to do that. Usually I have a lot of activities in the evenings, on the weekends, where I'm having to go and run, and I haven't had that. So life has gotten very much simpler, but it's allowed me to explore some creative things probably a bit more consistently, yeah. Which has been, it's been good. I think if you have a creative outlet for your mind, it helps you to deal with the anxiety that comes from being cooped up.
Mm-hmm. And I would really encourage that. If you aren't sure, you know, some people don't get the same kind of joy out of doing something like traditionally creative, and that's totally fine. I know mom specifically like is aching for more exercise. I'm like, at least that's what she's told me. And I get a lot of, really stir crazy. I get a lot of benefit out of physical exercise, and I think that that's a really good outlet. But there's something about like also having an internal spiritual connection to like something creative that feeds the other side of my well-being. And I would encourage everyone to try to find some little creative outlet, whether it's like what we would traditionally say is like a creative endeavor or not. Like, I mean, it could be just reorganizing your spice cabinet. Who am I to say? But, you know, I find there's a really great benefit of being able to do physical activity as well as mental activity in this time, if you can.
Absolutely.
That's it. But yeah.
Well, I think we've kind of wound down towards the end of this thing. I was just flipping through the random question box, and I will freely admit to you that we need to add some more questions.
Finally!
I was hoping to find one we hadn't actually discussed.
I have one.
Well, go for it.
What is when everything is completely back to normal, and, you know, we don't have our second wave that we're probably going to get in the fall. After all of that, what are you most looking forward to doing?
Your mom's waving at me. What was this? Oh, your mom has a question for us too. Yeah, she's not wired. She doesn't have headphones and microphone.
She's not in this. Get out of this, Nancy.
So she just asked me a question, but what's your question, Nancy? Let's hear it, and then we'll answer both of them.
Mine's not good enough.
We're going to do both.
Okay, sure.
What is it?
This is awkward. It's an awkward silence now, Dad.
What food or drink? What is it? Or restaurant?
This is really
fun. Do you miss the most? So, the backup co-host is she's doing like a backseat co-hosting. So
I think it sounds weird.
What food, drink, or restaurant do you miss the most? So I think that falls right in line with what your question was, which is. Repeat your question, Angela.
Oh, you didn't like it the first time?
No, I did. I just want to make sure I get it right. I don't want to answer the wrong question.
First of all, I would add to mom's thing is that most restaurants, especially most local restaurants, As many as they can are open for takeout. So, yeah.
And we've done some of that.
Support them now.
Yeah.
But my question is, once everything it has gone back to normal, and keeping in mind that we get a second wave of this in the fall, you know, once we're all back to normal, maybe that's next summer. I don't know. What are you most looking forward to doing?
You know, it's, well, this falls right in line with your mom's question for me, because there's two things that I really, really, really am looking forward to again. One is going out to breakfast with your mother on Saturday mornings. We do that on a pretty regular basis, unless we've got a podcast recording. And even sometimes then we'll still get up and go early. And
yeah, because she wakes up like at the crack of night. Well, it's so early.
I'll give you a secret. It happens to all of us when we get older. I now can't. I tried to sleep into 7 o'clock this morning. I couldn't get past 6:30. So it was, and I stay up.
Circadian rhythm.
I stayed up late too. So, but anyway, going to breakfast, with your mother on Saturday morning is kind of a special time that we have. We both work, pretty demanding jobs. We both are busy. Your mom's doing the gym a lot at night when we're under normal circumstances. And so during the week, we don't see as much of each other as we'd like. And so we've started going out to breakfast a lot on Saturday morning. So I really miss that. But the other thing I really miss is also a restaurant thing. And that's, about 2 miles away. I have a little Mexican place that I have been frequenting every week for years and years and years now, probably a decade. And I'm in there at least once a week at lunchtime, and I've gotten to know everybody. I kind of miss all of them. And I like just going in there, reading a book, having some tortilla chips and salsa. El Rodeo is my Mexican restaurant of choice. And I hit that place at least once a week. And I just miss being able to go in. I know I can order food and take out and all that, but I miss my hangout place, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, that makes sense.
What about you?
I was thinking about it. For me, it's being able to spend time around my friends and not worry about like being around people and how close I am. We do every May, we usually do a girls' wine and cheese night on one of our friends' front porches. We all bring a bottle of wine and we all get some cheese and bring crackers and we just sit on the porch and we get it all fancy. It looks nice. There's candles and everything. And we just talk and hang out and I'm looking forward to that. And just spending time with all of my friends and in real life. It's I think it's going to be weird just to be allowed to do that again. And we probably feel a little bit nervous about it, but I'm looking forward to the day when I can do that.
One of my friends, he's in the ministry. Actually, he's been a guest on the podcast, Haas Ridgway, who he was on here as his comedian persona, but I think in the podcast he was on, we told everyone he's also a preacher. He posted on Facebook that as soon as this is all over, he's going to go out and hug random people in the name of the Lord. And I responded.
I feel like some might like that, but some might not.
Well, I responded that I would visit him in jail. So I understand it though. I mean, you kind of miss that personal connection to people and being able to kind of interact mm-hmm. on a personal level. And then, you know, some people are huggy. You know, they like to give hugs and they like to get hugs and.
Introverts are having a hard time right now for people who are like, I'm introverted and even I'm getting sick of being alone. Like very hard.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think we're all ready to basically reunite.
Absolutely. Well, let's round this down. Let's wind this down. So, I wanted to thank everyone who's listening to the podcast. We appreciate you, tuning in. Angela, you want to do your usual plug?
Sure. It's I've done it all of two times. So now it's my plug.
It's your usual plug now.
But hey, if you think we're cool or, you know, whatever, please.
If you get a kick out of the podcast.
I don't know. If you're bored, if you have nothing to do at home right now and you want to, you can rate and review us online. I think we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I mean, wherever you listen to podcasts, there's probably a place for you to leave a review. It would be great if you did that. And I will actually, I'll raise the stakes. If you, whoever is the first person to leave us a review, I will send you a letter in the mail. You just have to send me your address and I'll send you a little letter. So there you go.
Oh,
an enticement.
Yes. So when you leave your review, if your email address is not part of the, were you going to send it in the mail?
I'm sending it in the mail.
Oh,
so you can, sorry, I'm just winging this right now. I'm coming up, but I'm good for my word.
Well, so if you're not comfortable
send leaving Michael DeCamp an email with your address in it, and I will give you a letter in the mail.
Oh, there you go. My email address is authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. So feel free to
leave a review, send your address to Michael DeCamp. He will send it to me. I will send you a letter in the mail.
There you go. A personal letter from the co-host. Super
simple. What a great idea we just came up with.
That was off the cuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, it was silly.
Well, cool. But thanks everybody again. Thanks for joining the podcast, and we will see you. We will touch base with you again. We won't see you. We're not, there's no secret camera.
You'll hear us next time.
You'll hear us next time on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
The Cutter's Notch podcast can be found through any podcast listing provider. New episodes will drop approximately twice per month. Connect with Michael at the following email address, authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Again, that's authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Abandon Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel, can be purchased as an ebook, paperback, or hardcover through any bookstore, both online and local. Get your copy and start your own Cutter's Notch adventure today.